Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I am so pumped. I have a special guest for you. Founder and CEO of Cubicle to CEO, Ellen Yin, is joining us. She has started a trailblazing media company dedicated to empowering women entrepreneurs through financially transparent content, transformative events, and accessible education. I am a huge fangirl. We had Ellen in our mastermind a couple of weeks ago, helping those that want to start podcasts and really excel at podcasting. She came in and poured into us and everybody was a huge fan. I am just so excited to have you with us today.
Stephanie, thank you so much. Your group was incredible. I love chatting all things podcast growth with them and super excited to be here too.
So tell our entrepreneurs that are listening to this just how you got started, because you actually got started in corporate, hence your title, Cubicle to CEO. Which I love, by the way. So tell them how your entrepreneurial journey started.
Thank you for getting my cheeky reference. Sometimes people feel like don't understand it, but yes, you're right. I worked in corporate very briefly. It was my brief 10-month stint. I did have another full-time position after graduation before that. So probably worked for about 2 years for other people after graduation before I decided to leave. And actually, at the time that I left corporate, I didn't have the intention to start a business. I just thought I was going to go out and apply for more marketing positions at a better fit company. But in that window of time when I was applying for jobs, I actually ended up landing my first freelance client. And I thought to myself, oh, okay, I have a set of skills that I could potentially monetize outside of a traditional job structure. So let me lean into this and see where it takes me. And the rest, as they say, is history. It's been almost 7 years now. I was 23 when I quit my job without a backup plan. I'm now 30. And my business has been through many different evolutions since then, but in its current stage, we operate as a media company. So essentially, sometimes people are like, what the heck does that mean? But just think of any traditional media company like a Vogue magazine or a New York Times or even Disney, right? One of the best known media companies of all time. Essentially, what that means is content is your primary product. So in our case, instead of a newspaper, a magazine, or film, the podcast is our primary content channel, and it's free for our community and our consumers to listen to and access. But we are able to monetize through revenue on the back end with our sponsors and content brand partners. And then also we have an education arm to our business, like you mentioned, where we provide accessible education to growing entrepreneurs through virtual events, as well as self-guided, self-paced templates and courses.
I love that. Shout out to your newsletter. I love being on your newsletter, and your Black Friday one just released, I think, earlier this week. And I was like, oh, I got to remember to actually check her emails next week. Because I remember last year around Black Friday, I think, is when I first found you and got on your list and everything. Shout out to Dr. Lauren. She's the one that told me about you. But I got on and I saw you do these really fun things through email and just getting your subscribers to engage with you. So can we start there? Because I also think there are so many people listening to this. I have tried to pound it into my clients' heads. I've tried to pound it into anybody who has a business. You need an email list. It's one of my biggest regrets, not starting it actually sooner, because I do think, one, it's such a way to provide super valuable content to your audience. But two, if you do it right, you can absolutely monetize it. It doesn't matter what you're selling. So what are some of your best tips for doing that? And are you in charge of that? Or I'm sure you have a CMO or something like that. But how did you get started with your newsletter?
I actually don't have a CMO. It is I, she is me.
It is.
Yeah. So I write all my own emails and I actually really love it because I feel most connected actually to our community when I'm writing them emails. It's such a great way to really stay on the pulse of what your community wants and get that real-time feedback right back in your inbox. Before I even get into why I think or how I've been using email to really fuel our company, I just want to really reaffirm what you said, Steph, about why having a list is so important. It is actually truly my only regret in business. So I'm the same as you. I wish I had started from day one building my list. So I just want to reiterate for your listeners, any of you who are running thriving clinics and whatnot, as a practitioner, you need an email list because having this asset is truly the only real asset you own in a digital business. And beyond that, just to give you some numbers, because I know some of you like to get nerdy in finances with me. In 2022 and 2021, we ran a lot of paid advertising, like meta ads on Facebook and Instagram. And when I say a lot, I'm talking about like in 2021 specifically, I know we ran like multi six figures in ads. And in late 2022 through all of last year, 2023, we went from spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in ads down to maybe $5,000 for the whole year or even less. It could have been even less in 2023. So a drastic drop. But what was interesting is we were able to maintain revenue and actually increase profit margins by a large bound. And all of those sales relied almost entirely on our email list. So our email list was the engine that could during that time when we weren't spending as heavily in paid advertising. So again, it's the asset that keeps giving back. And it's also the only asset, again, think of it like your book of business. If you were to ever sell your chiropractor business someday, it's also an asset that adds to the valuation of your business. So just keep that in mind. The question about emails though, can you repeat that? Was that around what?
What made you want to start your newsletter? And for those who maybe don't have one, like, how do you figure out what's valuable? I love that you mentioned it's how you keep a pulse on your audience and what they want. I always tell people, like, just ask your audience what they want. They're going to be so forthcoming and give you new ideas about new offers or new things you should be doing inside of your business. What made you really want to get started? And how do you view putting together meaningful content?
Great question. So I'm actually going to preface this by saying, the way that we approach our newsletter is probably different than what I would recommend to you as the person listening to this show, because keep in mind, we operate as a media business. So we treat our newsletter as another media product, if you will. We really center, for example, our newsletter weekly on the case study that we're featuring on the podcast. And it's a lot of long form, free value that we're providing our community. But the way, again, that we're monetizing that is when brands buy ad space in our newsletter. So that's a little bit of a different approach than I would maybe recommend to someone who's a service provider, who's working with clients one-on-one, or is trying to sell directly through their email. In that case, I don't necessarily think you need to have a quote-unquote newsletter. It's more so just about being in regular contact with your list. It doesn't have to be formatted or designed. You don't have to come up with this nifty like name and be like, I have a weekly newsletter called the blah, blah, blah on Sundays, right? Like, you don't have to do that. You can just think through what are the way I like to think about content in general is like, I don't think about content as content pillars. I think about it as stages of awareness. So let me give you a quick debrief of what I mean by that. If you think about each of your clients, like how they found you, how they're currently working with you, or your future clients that you want to reach, or just the population at large that you want to educate about their bodies and how they can take care of their bodies. You want to think through every person is discovering you at a different stage of awareness. So there are people who are totally unaware. There are people who are problem aware. And then there are people who are solution aware. So let's start at the far end of the spectrum, people who are totally unaware. These are people who don't even understand that they have any sort of problem or desire to solve, right? These are people who they're not necessarily like living with chronic pain, or they're not thinking every day, oh man, like I really need to get my back adjusted or whatever it is, right? Like they're just totally blissfully unaware. And so no matter how good your education content is, or no matter how great your service is or your offer is, they're never really going to pay attention to you if you don't move them from unaware to problem aware is when someone has some pressing need, either a problem or maybe it's a desire that's unfulfilled that they want to find a solution for, but they don't know what the right solution is. So this could be that person who's like living with chronic pain and they understand they have this chronic pain, but they don't necessarily see like getting their body adjusted as the solution for it. They might think, I need to talk to my doctor. Maybe I need to get on new medication. Maybe I need to be exercising more. All these things could probably be true. They're all in tandem with one another, but they're not looking at one specific thing as the solution. They just understand that they have this problem. So when someone's in a problem aware stage and you're able to really educate them on if you're feeling these things all the time, or if you're struggling with this, or if your desire is to enjoy life in this way and you're not presently, this is what it could look like. And these are the things that are probably actually like helping them pinpoint what that actual issue is and then tying it, helping them connect the dots to what the best solution would be. that's the type of content you want to target towards people who are problem aware. And then finally, we have people who are solution aware. So these are people who already know they have some sort of problem or desire they want to solve. And then they also know that they want to work with a chiropractor or a practitioner or whatever it looks like, right? So they already have that solution in mind. They just don't know yet that it's you that's going to fill that role. So these are people who are actively, you know, Googling chiropractors in my area, like best services to help with XYZ body need. And this is where you get to really step in and show how the experience that you create for your clients, the process that you lead them through, the lasting results that you get your people, that's the type of content that's going to speak to someone who's at that stage of awareness, at solution aware. So if you think through, okay, what are the different types of things I could address at each of these stages? And you feed them in throughout your email communications, you're really going to hit all three of these groups. And I think that's a great way to stay in touch with your people. And don't be afraid to make offers, to tell them, hey, I want you to go book this consult with me. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I want you to go check out this article that we wrote. Or, hey, we've got this meet and greet going on, this open house at our clinic. You should come say hi. People want to be told what to do. If you leave it very ambiguous, it actually creates this lack of confidence in the person reading your email. So don't feel like you can't sell to your list. That's literally the purpose. Selling is serving if you do it in the right way.
I love that. There's so much we could unpack there. I really resonate with that because I know when I first started getting more serious about my content in general, even just on social media, I was so terrified to make a call to action. And finally, I had some people smarter than me and my marketing friends were like, nobody's reaching out because you're not telling them to. And I was like, what do you mean? Don't they just know? Like, I posted this reel and it's cool and they should want it. And they're like, absolutely not. They want to be told what to do. They want to be given the next step. And so I think often we're not making enough call to actions in general. And like you said, it doesn't have to be like buy this thing, but like the call to action is like dive deeper into our content. Come and consume this other thing that we did over here. And I think that is a reminder is just so helpful for everyone. Because you are producing so much content, do you have certain frameworks that you work through? Are you doing only podcast content at certain periods during the day and then switching to more of the social content? Like, what's your process in working through that?
That's a great question. I want to add a quick thought to what you just said about call to actions before I forget, and then I'll answer that. But I'm the person who loves to learn through analogy. So I just want to give this as further encouragement to your listeners. Think about like when you're at, let's say, dinner or out to brunch with your friends and they're let's imagine one of your friends is talking about this really awesome party that they're going to be hosting or like this birthday party. And they're just telling you, here's what's going to be on the menu and the decor is I hired a designer to help me with this. Imagine if at the end of that conversation, they never actually said, hey, Stephanie, I would love for you to be there. Are you available next Saturday at 7? Imagine if they just told you about all this awesome stuff and they were like, all right, well, it's great to see you for brunch. Bye. You know, like even if you were like maybe close with them or you felt like you had a pre-existing connection with them, you probably would feel really awkward self-inviting yourself, right? Like you probably wouldn't be like,
totally. Oh,
like, by the way, could I come? Or is that for me? Are you inviting me? Nobody's going to say that. It's the same idea for when you're emailing people and you don't give them any call to action. People feel awkward. They don't know what to do with this like great information that you gave them and you gave them no next step. So next time you feel awkward about inviting your people to do something, just remind yourself it's about giving them the invitation. It actually makes them feel included and seen, not bothered. So
I love that so much. I love that.
Okay. About my own content schedule though. So we are very religious about getting out our podcast every Monday. It's been 5 years since I've started Cubicle to CEO, our podcast. And we say for an intentional 1 month hiatus that we took, I think in 2022, we haven't missed a Monday. We're super, super committed to making sure that we build a pattern in with our listeners that they know every Monday morning, if they open up their favorite podcast app, a new episode is going to be waiting for them. So we build our entire content schedule around our podcast because the podcast is like that flagship content channel. That may be different for some of your listeners, but whatever form of content you enjoy showing up in, podcast is obviously like video and audio. If you're a really excellent writer and for you, like email or some sort of long form written channel, like a blog is the way that you like to show up, cool. Let that be your cornerstone piece of content. Or if you're like, no, I'm that person that just likes to pop up on Instagram stories and have that kind of very impromptu chatter with my people and that I like that it disappears after 24 hours. Great. Maybe that's your cornerstone content. There is no right or best content channel. It's just figuring out what you actually enjoy and can consistently show up in. And so for us with the podcast, we have the podcast every Monday. Our newsletter goes out every Wednesday. If we're running some sort of promo or launch campaign, we'll also email our email list in between as well. So it's not just on Wednesday. Some weeks, like next week during Black Friday sale, I'm going to be emailing my list once or twice every single day. And I do not feel any shyness about that. So as far as like breaking out my days, though, I typically record podcasts at least this year on Thursdays and Fridays. And social content, my amazing team member, Sabrina, actually takes care of all of our social content. So I am not really in charge of creating content for Cubicle to CEO social. For my own social, I've always lived by this rule. I do not give myself pressure to have any sort of like consistent content calendar. I always only post from the heart. If I want to say something or I feel creatively inspired to do or film a reel, like I'm going to do that. But I never, ever feel bad if I don't post for 2 weeks or if there's 2 weeks where I post every single day. That has kept Instagram fun for me.
That's such a good point, because I know sometimes as business owners, it feels like this pressure to constantly be showing up and constantly posting more. And in reality, I do feel like the content that comes from the heart or that feels more authentic to you actually hits better. I know that I've posted some reels before where I'm like, I just have to get something out. And then it's like, okay, why did I even do that? Energetically, I wasn't aligned with posting at that current moment. You still have aspects that are delegated so that they get done. And I do think so often entrepreneurs, especially maybe newer to entrepreneurship, just don't have that consistency or that commitment. And they're like, oh, I feel like it today. That's okay for your personal content. Then that's not okay for the business content, because that's actually what's going to drive business and revenue. I want to talk a little bit about your zone of genius and how you built a company tapping into that zone of genius. I was reading some of your content and listening to some of your episodes, and marketing has always been a thing for you. And how did you take that and then be like, okay, I'm going to build a company on this? Is it like, I just know this is how I like spending my time, so let's see how I can monetize it? Or was there more strategy behind that?
There's probably less strategy than you would imagine, especially at the beginning. So I'm definitely someone who, actually, this is part of my human design. I am a manifesting generator. And if any of your listeners know this, I'm a 3-5.
Oh, they know.
Okay, great. I'm a 3-5. So I believe, and I'm actually very new to this, so I don't really know too much about human design, but I do know that the 3 line means that I experience the world and I learn through experiments. Like I literally fail forward through all these different types of experiments to find my best path. And so I've always been that person. Like, for example, on day one of being an entrepreneur, right? When I got that first freelance client, I always tell people it is very difficult for you to imagine these big things for yourself when you're planning from your current point of view. Like you haven't yet lived or walked the path to know all the possibilities out there. If you asked me on day one, Ellen, do you want to start a media company? I'd be like, what is a media company? I have no idea. I would never, ever have chosen this path because it wouldn't even register with me. I had to go through the steps first of going, okay, I have the skill. There's these small businesses, or eventually we really worked mostly with e-com businesses, like product-based businesses who need marketing support. And I have a skill that can help them with that. I started down that path and worked with a lot of different clients as their social media manager. And then over time, a lot of other service providers, so like graphic designers and website people and just anyone who worked with a one-on-one client, they were like accountants, lawyers, they were coming to me and they were like, hey, how are you getting these clients? How are you attracting these clients? How are you charging these retainer rates? I want to learn how to better build my service-based business and market my service-based business. It was just a natural pivot into that education space because I had built a successful social media marketing business. And other people were wanting to also build successful service-based businesses. I started teaching some of the systems I had developed or some of the marketing strategies that worked well for us to secure clients. And as that happened, and then as I launched my podcast, it kept evolving, right? I was like, okay, now I'm learning new things about podcast marketing. Now I'm learning new ways to get visibility. Now I'm starting to think outside the box in these different arenas, started working with brands and really learning that world. And then eventually, of course, we decided to fully focus on scaling our podcast and scaling our media content, hence why we shifted into a media business model in 2023. But all of these things were stair steps. They were not something that I set out from day one and saw this big vision. I had to experiment my way through it. And I think that's really the only way that I can encourage other people is it's probably best actually if you don't see
the full picture.
The full picture, right? Because if you do, I feel like you almost have dreamed too small Because if you're able to see the full picture, you're only really dreaming within the parameters of what you've already experienced. But there's so much more to experience out in that big wide world, and you can't do it if you're limiting yourself to only doing the things that you already feel comfortable with.
Oh, I love that so much. I get asked all the time, Steph, how am I supposed to know what my next thing is or what my passion is? Or a lot of my clients have built really successful brick and mortars, but they want to dive into the online space and share expertise in a different way or pursue another passion. I can resonate so much with your story because I just think back to when I first started coaching. It was like, okay, I just want 5 one-to-one clients. That's all I'm going to start doing. Let's just get started. I knew that I loved it. I knew that I wanted to dive further into it. And now I have this big vision for a $10 million company, right? I didn't start with a vision of a $10 million company. I started with, let's just get a few people that I can help and let me prove that I can help them and we'll go from there. I really have operated from just getting started and figuring it out as you go too. I think often in entrepreneurship, we get stuck in this analysis paralysis where it actually really stagnates our growth because we're so scared of doing the wrong thing that we don't do anything. And so I can really resonate with that story. What is next for Cubicle to CEO? Do you have some big goals, big visions that you're going to be aiming for in 2025?
2025 is actually going to be, I think, a year of a lot of introspection for me. So I recently made some structural changes on my team and I'm really simplifying my business in the first 6 months of next year to really just give myself the mental breathing room and white space to just think. And I'm putting no expectations or limitations on what that can look like. So maybe that means just really descaling for 6 months and super getting zoned in on one specific thing. Maybe I do come up with this new creative idea that I want to pursue. It's actually freeing to say, I don't know. I don't know, Steph. I don't know what the answer is to that. But I know that I need to give myself that space. And that's another thing I would really encourage your listeners on is oftentimes you get really good at something and you get into this routine because you're good at it and it makes money. And this has happened to me many times in my business where it's just so easy to keep going down that beaten path because it's like sunken cost fallacy, right? It's like I've already spent years mastering this, or I've already achieved some level of success with this or notoriety for this. So I should just keep going. But if there's any part of you that's calling you in a different direction that feels, maybe I could explore this other thing, it is okay, like you said, to step out and to not know for sure and to experiment and to maybe realize it was a giant flop and go, oh, okay, now I have the data and the clarity on that I couldn't have gotten from just sitting here analyzing it in my brain. So I look forward to sharing my experiments with you all on our podcast on Cubicle to CEO next year. So if you're curious, stay tuned.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for joining us today. I swear I could talk to you for hours. So everybody should go and subscribe to your show. Follow your show, actually, because I learned that tip from you. And is the best place other than the podcast to connect with you on Instagram?
Yes. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Ellen Yin and our podcast at Cubicle to CEO. But yeah, shoot me a DM if you heard me from this podcast. I always love to know who that mutual friend is that connected us. So please tell me, like, Stephanie sent me your way. And I'd love to chat further.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey there. Do you struggle with using multiple softwares to run your office? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Genesis Chiropractic Software by Clinic Mind. This all-in-one system and billing service is cloud-based and designed by chiropractors for chiropractors. Its automated workflows streamline every aspect of your practice, from efficient billing processes that increase your collections to easy-to-use dashboards and retention tools that will keep your patients compliant with your care recommendations. We all know it's not just about getting more new patients, but also keeping the ones you do have happy. If you're interested in improving your office with a proven platform that works and want things to stop falling through the cracks, check them out at genesischiropracticsoftware.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.